Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I'm so excited to bring this message to you. I really experience the peace of God upon me as I come to you today and bring to you the fifth session on our series called Change. You know, so many times we try to change. So many times we want to change from this problem that we have into a better person and all of those things. And today we're going to really look into this, and you're going to be so blessed by what you're going to hear today. I do believe that if we can get rid of this change teaching in the church, we will find the change of God in our lives. Hallelujah. You know, if your vision today is to change, you've got a wrong vision. You are busy with what was the job description of Jesus Christ on your behalf. Amen. Our vision is not a change. Our job description is not a change. The job description that God gave Jesus was, go and change the world. And Jesus brought a change into this world. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says He brought a change of law. If you go and read Acts chapter 6, when Stephen preached, he preached and he said that through Jesus Christ, this place will be broken down, talking about the old temple, and He will be changing the customs of Moses. Jesus Christ came and He brought a change. The Bible says where there's a change of priesthood, there's by necessity also a change of law. So Jesus is the one that brought the change. You're not the one that's supposed to bring the change. And Jesus brought all the change that there was needed for you to experience change in your life. You know, when and I just want to say this as a recap on the previous four sessions we've had. So many times we think that Jesus did it all for us, and now we need to change into who Jesus is. And that's wrong. That's not the way it is. I believe in the principle of faith. If you believe in Jesus, you experience what He came to do for you. And as a recap, I want to say this. You need to be born of God and you need to know God in order to change. There's things that keeps us away from knowing God, and that is rules and regulations. And we've got that in the previous sessions. What we also said is that Jesus is your representative in as much as what Adam was your representative. Adam changed you. When Adam changed from righteousness to unrighteousness, you changed from righteousness to unrighteousness. And when Adam changed to unrighteousness, what he received of God, or not of God, of the law, what he received was death. He was impatient. One of his children became a murderer. Lust problems start to come into his descendants and all those type of things. I mean, death entered into his physical body, all those type of things. And it was Adam that changed. And when Adam changed, all of man changed. They've changed. And they've experienced that change to the place where this whole world was just destroyed by a flood. There was just too much sin. People started to sin and fall into things, and their life started to change because of the representative that changed. So they didn't go around, the descendants of Adam didn't go around and say, well, you know, I'm going to change now because, you know, I'm struggling with this righteousness problem, you know, and I want to change from this righteousness because my leader has changed into sin, and now I'm really going to try to become like my leader. No ways. But that's what we do as the church. So many times we go around and say, well, my leader has changed into righteousness, and I've got the sin problem now, and I want to change from my problem into a more righteous person. Why do we want to work so hard? And the sin, it wasn't even hard work to sin. It came naturally. How much more now with Jesus Christ? Now, Jesus is the one that brought the true change to us. Jesus was the one that changed us. When He became a human being, He was changed into sin upon the cross. He was made sin. He was not sin. He was righteous. But then He was changed and made sin. He was made sin. Man, I mean, we need to get that into our mind. So many times we think that, you know, He just took some of our punishment. Yes, He took the punishment of sin, for He was made sin. So much sin came upon Him that it became dark. That's what the Bible teaches. And He was punished for our sins. He died for our sins. And then he was changed from that state of sin into righteousness in the resurrection. And when he was changed into the resurrection, being resurrected, he changed you. For he is our representative. He represents you. And when he was changed into this loving, caring, ever living, never dying, blessed person, that's what you were changed into. Now, as the descendants of Adam didn't have to do a million things in order to get that to work in their life and to reflect in their life, the same with us. We don't have to do a million things to get that to reflect in our lives. My vision is not a change. I tell you the truth. I don't wake up in the morning and think that I need a change here or change there. And even when I see something wrong in my life, I don't think, well, I'm going to try and change that. Because the moment I try to change that, I'm in trouble. I'm going to do more sin. And I don't want to do more sin. I want to experience that which was freely given to me in Jesus Christ. And I want to experience the overflow that comes from Jesus. Hallelujah. God sent Jesus to this earth to change the world. That's His job. Hallelujah. When you look at the Lamb of God, and you look at what He has done for us, and how He recreated us, and how He made us new, you find a new heaven, you find a new earth, and all the change comes from Jesus. He's the one that brings forth the change. When we believe it, we experience the overflow of that. That's the only thing we need to believe. And faith is not something that you must do for God. It's something that happens to you when you know what God has done for you. Hallelujah. It's as simple as that. You can get my series on faith. I'll explain that so, man, in depth. Faith is not something that you do. Faith is not something you decide to do. I decide I'm going to believe. You cannot decide to believe. You either believe or not. You can't decide to believe. You get the right information and you will find that you believe. You can't change and say, well, I'm not going to be a doubter, I'm going to be a believer. Man, you are either a doubter or a believer. And when you get the right information about your situation, which is what Jesus has done on your behalf, you will find that you start to believe now. So faith is a fruit of being in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk today about what it is to be truly set free. Know this, and I want to just repeat it again. I know I've said it many times, but we need to get this thing really in our mind before we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And that is that Adam was your representative and he changed you. And Jesus was called the last Adam. There's going to be no Adam after him. He is the last one, forever our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, forever our representative, forever my righteousness. As long as what Jesus got a physical human body, where He is seated today, He is my representative. And as long as what He doesn't sin, and as long as what He doesn't get under the law, and have a law mentality, I am righteous forever. Hallelujah. And that will be forever. Thank you, my God. So as long as what Jesus is holy, I've changed to holiness. The moment Jesus becomes unholy, I'll become holy. For He is my representative. Amen. And we need to take this truth of the gospel and see it as truth. And listen to it again and again and again. And until we find our minds renewed in it. You cannot renew your mind. I just want to say that out straight. You cannot renew your mind. If you are thinking negative things and you decide now I'm going to think positive things, you're just wasting your time. How are you going to get it right? Because now you start to say these positive things. You start to say it and you start to say it. But then in the back of your mind, you still feel that negativity. And the moment you start to try to think positive, your mind just jumps into that negative thing again. It's because you've got an unrenewed mind. A renewed mind is a thought pattern that changed because you've been looking into the grace of God and you've received grace. Hallelujah. The Bible clearly says be transformed, not by renewing your mind. It says by the renewal of the mind. That means by your mind that becomes new when you are in a relationship with God and understand what has been freely given to you by Jesus. I don't try to renew my mind. And you might say, Bertie, but you've got a very easy gospel. Oh yeah, hallelujah. That's why I will keep this thing until the Lord Jesus returns. Amen. And I'm not going to become tired, for it is not burdensome. And the commandment of the Lord is not burdensome. It's not difficult to do. I don't have to push into it. I don't have to press through. I don't have to do all those type of things. It's not the truth. I don't have to walk like that. My mind is being renewed by just taking, having knowledge of what Jesus has done for me freely. That's how my mind is renewed. By just having knowledge of what Jesus has done. If you get enough knowledge about what happened in South Africa the last 20 years, you get enough knowledge about the truth. If you're in another country, your mind will change about this country. You will not say, well, I'm going to change my mind about this country. You know, I'm going to think like this. No, just get the information. And you'll find by the right information, without you even trying to change your mind, you'll find that you think differently about the things. It's like somebody going and he said, well, I'm going to go on a holiday. And I'm going to spend 50,000 rand on this holiday. I'm going to Italy and I'm going to enjoy it there. And then all of a sudden you see now he's got a new motorbike. And you say, man, now what made you change your mind? That you bought the bike and didn't go on the holiday. And that's, I mean, we already live with that. But when it comes to the gospel, we're not like that. We want to just change our mind by, I'm going to change my mind. No, a change of mind, it happens to you because something makes you change your mind. So if you don't get into the message of grace, you will not find the thing that can make you change your mind. If you sit at night and you stress about money, and you say, well, I'm going to change my mind now. You know what you're going to do? You're just going to waste your time. You're going to stress, man. You see, the thing is, we're not honest with ourselves. We say, well, I'm not stressing. God meets my need. And you go off on that tangent and actually throwing a type of a tantrum trying to get God to give you a little bit of peace. You know what need to happen? And I've done this. When I wake up in the middle of the night and I find stress in my mind with about finances, I say, I'm not going to try to change my mind out of the stress. I'm stressing. And because I know God's a merciful God, I know He's not upset with me. He's not falling off His throne because I'm stressing. He's not. God is the Holy Spirit is a comforter and He wants to comfort me. And what I do, I'll take the Bible and I will wake up in the middle of the night if I stress and I will start to read what Jesus did for people without trying to renew my mind. Just read. And as I read what Jesus done and how good He was to people, I find that I'm not stressing anymore. I don't try to change my mind. I don't try to stop the stress. I read the Word. Then the Word bears fruit in my heart. It's not the reading of the Bible. It is getting into the message of grace. You must understand, you come to a place in your life where when you read the Bible, you see grace. And as you see the grace of God, you experience His unconditional love. Then as you experience a Father that loves you, you find that you don't think of this thing anymore. You find that you don't stress about it anymore. You find that your mind has been renewed by the Word of God. You cannot renew your mind. The Word renews your way of thinking. And I hope that can set you free. I don't know how to put that in easier words. That's really what I want to tell you today. You cannot change your mind. The right information changes your mind. Or information changes your mind. Information will change what you think. You know, you will drink normal water out of the tap, no problem. Your mind says, man, this is good. And then you hear about these water purifiers that cost 3,000, 5,000 rand. You say, what a lot of nonsense. I've been drinking this water for 30 years or 40 years and nothing wrong with me. And my grandmother drank that water and the great-grandmother drank that water and they all became old and was good people. And then somebody comes to you and a friend of yours come and talk to you about that water. And they give you some of that water to drink at their house. Taste the difference. And one that comes out of the normal tap and one that comes out of that little thing. And you drink it. And then you say, man, yeah, this tastes good. 2 weeks down the line, you buy one. Why? Because you've got different information. You couldn't change your mind, man. You could have tried to change your mind into that. Your mind says, that's rubbish. Your mind says, a waste of money. Your mind says certain things. It has been programmed because of information that you've been getting over 20 years. You need different information. You need another story about water in order to think differently. You cannot change your mind. It's impossible. And that's what the Bible says. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And I want to add this in. That comes in by hearing grace and not the law. That's how you change your mind. We're talking about change. The change that comes to you comes through what Jesus has done for you. You don't have to try to change your mind. Jesus got a new mind. He doesn't think he's a sinner. He doesn't stress about finances. As you get into grace, you'll find you don't stress. Now let's get over into 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to just touch on something here. That this is really going to bless you. Oops, let me get into this. This is going to bless you. It says in let me find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 14. It says, but their minds were blinded. Now listen to this. We're talking about changing. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. So it says, when you read the law, there is a veil over your mind, and you cannot understand the gospel. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. You cannot believe. The Bible says, with a heart you believe unto righteousness. When you read the law, you cannot believe God. Any law type of system, any leaven of the Pharisee, any type of rule and regulation mentality keeps you away from knowing God. I've said this in the previous sessions. That's why you cannot change. That's why you cannot believe unto righteousness. You cannot. Okay? Because you've got a law mindset. If you've got a law mindset about God, you cannot believe who God is. Any person that puts you under laws and regulations and rules, you don't know who He is. You only know the law that He puts upon you. And that law keeps you away from knowing who the person really is. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. But when you return to the Lord, when you return to what Jesus has done, the veil will be lifted off your heart and you will start to be able to believe. You'll start to be able to understand. There's a veil upon the mind of a person that does not understand or that does not hear the message of grace. His mind is veiled. He cannot understand. And the Bible says that the seed that is sown upon the road is those that hear the word and don't understand what is said. If you don't understand the message of grace, you cannot change. It's impossible. And all the change that's in your life is not is out of willpower, out of I'm trying to change. And I've said it in the previous session. I want to just elaborate on that a little bit. If I teach a parrot to ring like a telephone, man, if it can ring exactly like a telephone, you know what? If the call comes in, I cannot pick up the parrot and answer the call. And so many times we think as Christians, if we can just ring like a Christian, if we can sing the right tune, if we can sound like a Christian, if we can sound like Jesus, if we can walk like Jesus, then we are the children of God. It's not the truth. It's not the truth. By singing the right tune, having the right words in your mouth and all those type of things, that doesn't change you. You must have the right word in your mouth because you have changed. And that change could only come by Jesus. Hallelujah. Now we want to change our mouth. Man, don't try and change your mouth. Don't try and change what you say. Don't try and change any of those things. Just get, it sounds too simple to be true, but it's the truth. Just get into the message of grace and you'll find the change in your life. But there's something important I need to say here. Now it says, now the Lord is that Spirit which takes away the veil. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now this is not talking about the Holy Spirit outpouring. So many times we think when we change, we need another dose of the Holy Ghost, another anointing, you don't need another anointing, man. It's good to anoint people. I anoint people in my 10 crusades. I anoint them with oil. I bless them because some people need that because they need to be healed. They need to happen a miracle and whatever. But if you think that change is connected to being anointed with oil every time, you will anoint everything in your house. You will anoint the doorpost. You will anoint the window. You will anoint yourself, your children every day continuously because you think that oil changes you, that anointing oil, or having another dose of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I've been to meetings where people are flat on the ground and the law's been preached. And they stand up there, they're not free, but they've been under the power. This is not talking about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. This is talking about a teaching. He says there's a teaching of the law that veils you. But where the Spirit of the Lord is. Now what is the Spirit of the Lord? It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me read it to you. Verse 12. Now we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Where the spirit of the Lord is, or where the teaching is what we have freely received of God, there is freedom. For we are preaching what was freely received from God. Hallelujah. You don't need another touch of the Holy Spirit. Man, the anointing you've got is enough. You are dripping with the anointing, but you're not changing, for you don't have the message of grace. I mean, please, man. Hallelujah. This is what God has given unto us. This is the gift He's given unto us. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. What Jesus has done is the Spirit. And where the Spirit or what Jesus has done is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, because we under the message of grace, are beholding as in a mirror this glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? The Bible says the glory of the Lord is grace and truth. Now, truth is not the law. In the Old Testament, the Bible says thy law is the truth. But in the New Testament, it says Jesus is the truth. Now, the Bible says, the angel said to Joseph, call him Jesus, for he shall save my people from their sins. So when you think of Jesus, you must think saved from sins. No consciousness of sin. So when you think of God's glory, thinking of grace, how He influenced you, as Adam influenced you, how the lost Adam influenced you, that's grace. How did Jesus influence me? And how am I sinless before the Father? That is grace and truth. He says when you look into the glory, into the grace, and into no consciousness of sin of the Lord, which is this message of what we have freely received in Christ, it says you are changed into the very same image. Hallelujah. Amen. Righteous, holy, glorious. Amen. How? From glory to glory. How? By the Spirit of the Lord. By the Holy Spirit's supernatural power in your life. By His anointing, which also is this message of grace. Hallelujah. You know, let me tell you something, and I want to say it again. You don't need another anointing. You need a revelation of grace. There's no other gospel. There's no other way unto freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, in the context of this, is the teaching of Jesus. Where the teaching of Jesus is freedom. Where the teaching of grace is, which comes by the Holy Spirit, which tells you what you have freely received in Christ, there you will find freedom from the things that were binding you. Jesus came and He changed things, man. He changed the world. He changed you. Stop seeking change. Stop to seek, I want to change you, I want to change you, I want to change you. Get to a place where you know God accepts you, man. God loves you. He cares for you. And His vision is not to see you change here and change there and change there. His vision for you is just to see His message of grace. To see the Spirit of the Lord. That Spirit of the Lord is not just the Holy Spirit. It is the attitude of Jesus. The person of who God is. Now, Bertie's got a certain spirit. You can say Bertie's got a spirit of anger. Or a spirit of peace. Or a spirit of this. The Spirit of the Lord, man. The attitude of the Lord. Just the person of who He is. The teaching of Jesus is the right context of this. Where that is, the law is taken away. And people are set free. Hallelujah. You don't need another touch anointing. That's why people run over here, run over there, run over there. And they never get a personal relationship with God. We need to get into the message of grace. And then you'll find the Spirit bringing forth the change that you've always desired in your life. Man, isn't that awesome? To think that God makes an effort with you. He loves you. He cares for you. You are precious in His sight. You are the apple of His eye. You are the pearl of great price. You are a city that's set upon a hill. You are the treasure that was hidden in the field. And He went and He bought that field to get you. You are precious to God. That's what you need to hear. And you'll find your mind has already changed because you've listened to the right stuff. And when you listen to this message of grace, you find this freedom. And you find the Spirit changing you. Hallelujah. Without you trying to change. Let Jesus be your vision and not what you must do for God. And you'll find what you can do for God is awesome. Amen. Thank you that you've listened to this broadcast of The Love Way. God loves you. God cares for you. And His light of love shines over your life today. Amen.